social media platform X, that read, "And no one's even trying to assassinate Biden Kamala," along with a thinking face emoji. Musk deleted the message after widespread criticism. He's now being investigated by the Secret Service. J.D. Vance's remarks for Democrats to tone down their rhetoric came just days after Donald Trump repeatedly used inflammatory language to attack Vice President Kamala Harris during last week's ABC News presidential debate.
She's destroying this country, and if she becomes president, this country doesn't have a chance of success. Not only success, we'll end up being Venezuela on steroids, because they're destroying the fabric of our country by what they've done. There's never been anything done like this at all. They've destroyed the fabric of our country.
We're joined right now by Jason Stanley, author and professor of philosophy at Yale University. His new book titled Erasing History: How Fascists Rewrite the Past to Control the Future. Professor Stanley is the son of Holocaust survivors. This is your second book on fascism. Why are you writing it now, and the significance of its publication as this election, to say the least, heats up in its last weeks?
Well, I faced a puzzle when writing this book. Why is it that authoritarians always target schools and universities? So we see that all over the world. We see that with Viktor Orban, who provides a kind of template for U.S. authoritarianism. He attacked Central European University for gender ideology and leftism and being pro-immigration. And so we know about the courts, the authoritarians targeting the courts. But why do authoritarians always target voting? That's clear. And schools and universities. So when last year, when the anti-genocide, anti-war protests on campus were happening, I thought about the international context. I thought about what happened in India in 2019 when they passed the Citizenship Amendment Act, which made Muslims into second-class citizens. And there were nonviolent protests on campus denounced as anti-Indian. And violent militarized responses. So this tactic of tarring school teachers, tarring university professors as Marxists and communists and ruining the country, and replacing this kind of education, replacing Black history, replacing LGBTQ perspectives by a kind of grandiosity of white Christian nationalism, as we're seeing right now. This seemed to me a democratic emergency.
This is Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance speaking in 2021 at the National Conservatism Conference. At the time, he was a candidate for the U.S. Senate in Ohio.
I think in this movement of national conservatism, what we need more than inspiration is we need wisdom. And there was a wisdom in what Richard Nixon said approximately 40, 50 years ago. He said, and I quote, "The professors are the enemy."
So that was J.D. Vance. The professors are the enemy. I also want to quote First Things magazine, a right-wing magazine. It says, "Universities should be places of sober analysis, but at Yale, philosophy professor Jason Stanley and history professor Timothy Snyder published books of political propaganda that describe Trump as the second coming of Adolf Hitler. TV newscasters intone rants rather than report on events." And of course, J.D. Vance, your fellow Yale colleague.
Yeah. So that's a strangeness about this moment, that all these people, the leaders of the movement to attack universities and schools, are all Ivy League grads. Ron DeSantis is a Yale and Harvard grad. Ted Cruz is a Princeton and Harvard grad. J.D. Vance is a Yale Law School grad. Tom Cotton is Harvard. Elise Stefanik is Harvard. So what's going on? That's a mystery. These guys are sending their kids to Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. They're not sending their kids to Hillsdale college. It's Hillsdale College for the rest of us and Harvard, Yale, and Princeton for their kids. So they're attacking the institutions, the universities, because the universities provide critical inquiry into the kind of myths that's required for the for these kinds of politics. This kind of politics elevates the dominant group, in the case of the United States, white Christian men. It diminishes women, the agency of women, by represents history as the exploits in the United States of white Christian men. Like in India, history is represented as the exploits of Hindus. In Israel, it's represented as the exploits of Jewish nationalists who founded the state. This kind of erasure of history justifies—it doesn't just justify wars and genocide. If you look at Russia, a case I look at extensively in the book, as well as Israel, in Russia, the erasure of Ukraine as an independent place, the complete erasure of Ukrainian history, justifies Vladimir Putin's war on Ukraine, because it says it is sort of a fake identity, a fake country. It represents all Russian incursions as justified by supporting independence movements. Israel has erased the existence of the Palestinian people. It has erased the history, making the desert Jews, made the desert bloom. This kind of thing represents, erases Palestinians from the narrative of the country and of the area, and paves the way for genocide. This kind of erasing history paves the way for ethnic, racial, and religious nationalism, which is the core of the message we're hearing from MAGA Republicans today. When you represent, when you erase black history, when you erase LGBTQ perspectives, when you erase social history of social movements, then you represent history as just the exploits of great white men. You erase social movements. You make citizens feel like they have no agency. And so it's an anti-democratic education. And then you justify great replacement theory, which is their core message, that the greatness of America comes from the exploits of great white men. And so we need to protect that identity.
Jason Stanley, you write in your book, Erasing History, the most visible current manifestation of the Black American tradition of reclaiming history is Nicole Hannah-Jones' 1619 Project. She's, of course, the Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for The New York Times Magazine, creator of the landmark 1619 Project, which reframes U.S. history by marking the year 1619, when the first enslaved Africans arrived on Virginia soil, as the country's foundational date. This is then-President Donald Trump denouncing the project at a White House conference on American history in September 2020.
Critical race theory, the 1619 Project, and the crusade against American history is toxic propaganda, ideological poison that, if not removed, will dissolve the civic bonds that tie us together, will destroy our country.
Professor Stanley, your response.
This is an erasure of black history. This is an erasure of black perspectives. What we need to improve our democracy is we need knowledge of who has been denied equality and why. We need to know democracy is a system where we all play a role in the formation of the policies that govern us, the laws that govern us. Without black perspectives, without the black perspective on history, we don't know, we don't understand their voices. The grounds for eliminating and responding to stereotypes and prejudice have been robbed from us. Without critical race theory, the study of structures that maintain racial hierarchy, the study of, say, mortgage redlining, children won't understand why there are poor black neighborhoods and wealthy white neighborhoods in their cities protected by military police. Black children will be led to believe the stereotypes about themselves, and ironically, feel shame about their own identity. These divisive concept laws that are being passed all over the country that invite students at public universities and students at public schools to report on their own teachers and professors. These are purportedly justified as students, we shouldn't have teaching that makes students feel shame about their race. Well, when you don't allow professors and teachers to teach Black history, you're making Black students feel ashamed about their race. When you don't allow LGBT perspectives, when you declare them as obscene and pornographic, you make LGBT families feel ashamed about their identity. People say, okay, it's not really banning because you can look at the web. But what's taught in schools, the perspectives that are taught in schools, affect us through our whole lives. They represent an authority, a state authority. And we're being told by MAGA Republicans that that perspective is the perspective of Christian white men.
I want to ask you to stay with us. We're going to do a post-show interview, part two, and we'll put it online at democracynow.org. Jason Stanley, author and professor of philosophy at Yale University, his new book titled Erasing History, How Fascists Rewrite the Past to Control the Future. He's also author of How Fascism Works, The Politics of Us and Them. He's the son of Holocaust survivors. Coming up, Borderland, The Line Within, a new film about the profitable business of criminalizing immigration and its human cost. Back in 20 seconds.
Debajo de la noche, ceniza y rasgos, volando de palo en palo, abrazando el rojo, amarillo, negro y blanco maíz. Escuchen, mi mamá decía, bajo la luna la voz del Tucur se oía. Mensajero de estrellas de tiempo, cantor de abuelos de nieve.
Owl by Sara Curuchich, Cachiquel songwriter from Guatemala. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We end today's show looking at immigration, a key issue in the presidential election. On the campaign trail, Democratic candidate Kamala Harris and Republican Donald Trump have competed to propose tougher policies for asylum seekers at the U.S.-Mexico border. Trump's promised to expand the draconian policies of his first term. Harris is vowing to hire thousands of additional border agents and intensify the militarization of the U.S.-Mexico border if she's elected president. Immigrant justice advocates have criticized Harris's rightward shift on immigration and the border, policies that activists say only lead to a more inhumane treatment of immigrants, increasing migrant deaths and detentions, and the separation of families. At a campaign rally in California over the weekend, Trump again threatened the mass deportation of over 10 million immigrants if he's reelected, starting in Aurora, Colorado, and Springfield, Ohio, where the Haitian community of tens of thousands is facing a wave of violent threats after Trump and his running mate J.D. Vance falsely accused Haitian immigrants of eating people's pets. Ohio Republican Governor Mike DeWine announced he's deploying state troopers and conducting daily bomb sweeps in Springfield schools after a spate of bomb threats over Trump and Vance's racist and unfounded comments, which they've both persistently defended, despite the threats to the community. Amidst this dehumanization of immigrants, a new film aims to give them a face as they speak to their in their own words about the war on immigrants in the United States, not just at the southern border, but across the country, and the profitable business of criminalizing immigration. This is the trailer for Borderland, The Line Within, the new documentary by director Pamela Yates.
ICE is everywhere. The border is everywhere. for us, for immigrants.
Everyone in that team knew what the border was inside of them.
A team of digital humanists is uncovering dark details of the border industrial complex.
What if we knew the infrastructure that Hitler was building before World War II? What would we do with that knowledge?
So that you go from your house to your Dunkin' Donuts and you pass a detention facility and you don't even know that it exists.
The infrastructure that was being prepared,
that was the end game.
Getting prepared for massive separations, massive deportations.
Right. I mean, that was the end game. We kept saying that's the end game. What does the removal of 12 million look like?
In the shadow of the border industrial complex, immigrants are building power.
I want to believe that the judge is going to allow me to stay here in the country, but if he doesn't allow me, he has to know that I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight hard.
The system is geared towards, like the old cowboy movie, give him a trial and then we hang him.
Put the camera down.
Give him due process and then we deport him.
If you accept the militarization of the border as we are doing it, then nothing is going to stop any other crazy agenda in the future to militarize Chicago, Los Angeles, New York.
You will always, in their eyes, be the enemy.
They make us feel like we're worthless in this country.
We are the voice of those children who are crying themselves to sleep, asking for their mom or dad. ICE shouldn't be scaring us, intimidating us.
The people at the Capitol don't need to be sitting here because they have all the resources, because they have all the money.
Nothing bothers power more than you looking at their dollar signs.
It wasn't just a story about Trump and a few Republicans. All of the U.S. political scene were engaged in this activity.
We have to look at what's happening right now in the United States. In this particular historical moment, the imminent danger is the rise of fascism. It threatens all of us. It threatens the promise of the United States. For all its flaws, it still promises something. And it's something that we have to keep on fighting for.
The trailer for Borderland, The Line Within, 5 years in the making. It continues the work of director Pamela Lee Yates over the past four decades and her past films, When the Mountains Tremble, Granito, How to Nail a Dictator, and, well, 500 years. For more, Pamela Yates joins us from the capital of New York State, from Albany, and in El Paso, Texas, we're joined by Gabriela Castañeda, an advocate with MILPA, that's the Movement of Immigrant Leaders in Pennsylvania. She's featured in the film Borderland, The Line Within. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! I was with you both last Friday night at DCTV's Firehouse Cinema when the film premiered. It is an epic work. It is a masterpiece, Pamela, especially coming out at this time of the election, when immigration is one of the top issues in this country in the election, and immigrants are being so dehumanized from saying Haitian, the Trump and Vance saying Haitians eat pets, and to threatening mass deportation of immigrants starting in Aurora, Colorado, and in Springfield, Ohio, where so many tens of thousands of Haitians live, invited there. Pamela, talk about your film.
Sure. Borderland, The Line Within. And thank you for having us on the show today, Amy. And hello to all the Democracy Nowistas out there. The film really is the story. You know, immigration is always consequential, but it is particularly consequential at this moment in time. And the film is really about people arriving in this country who are leaders, who become leaders, who are teaching other immigrants how to become leaders, who are building strength in immigrant communities. They're not victims. They have agency, and they are teaching each other their constitutional rights as people living in the United States. But on top of that, we've built a whole other story, which is the story of the digital humanists. These are humanities scholars who are using data to uncover what's come to be known as the border industrial complex, the billions of dollars of our tax money that is being spent to capture, incarcerate, and deport immigrants into this country. We filmed the digital humanists in a kind of a liminal space, a space between the light and the dark, as they use the Freedom of Information Act and scrape the web for data to bring us what's actually going on with this money, these billions of dollars that are being spent on the back of the suffering of immigrants in our country. It's really the thing that I believe that we can contribute to the immigration debate, that we can contribute to the national conversation about immigration, that each person in the United States should know where their tax dollars are going.
This is absolutely key, because that imaging of ICE facilities across the country with the comment, the border is everywhere, is astounding. How many ICE facilities are there, Pamela?
There are hundreds, and they're all over the country. And you may be living next to one, and you may not know it. They also use county jails. But they have a lot of private detention facilities, private companies that are making millions of dollars a year on incarcerating immigrants who have not committed any crimes. It's a civil offense, and they're being held there. And it's shocking. And hundreds of dollars on each person each night is being spent to keep them locked up.
I want to turn right now to another clip of your film, Borderland, The Line Within. Our guest in El Paso, Texas, is Gabriela Castaneda. She's featured in Borderland. Let's go to that clip.
So I'm currently in the middle of an immigration process. I'm fighting for cancellation of removal. The judge is basing his accusations on a report prepared by ICE, stating that my house was used to stash undocumented immigrants and that I was transporting these undocumented immigrants within the country. This report was prepared several years ago, exactly right after we held protests outside the detention center. And they didn't like it. Whether they like it or not, they can't deport me for that, and they know that. But they can put together a report that's gonna make me look bad and say, you know what? We're not deporting you for that. You're more than welcome to protest and do whatever you want. That's your First Amendment right. Oh, but you know what? We can deport you for these things. ICE, you know, is against everything we're doing, because obviously we're challenging the status quo. They want to keep everything, you know, like it is right now. Them having the power, them abusing families, them destroying families, and nobody saying anything. Well, that's not the case. I said something, and that's why I'm being targeted. I want the truth. I want the truth. I want to believe that the judge is going to be able to see that then and allow me to stay here in the country. But if he doesn't allow me, he has to know that I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight hard.
So that's Gabriela Castaneda. She's currently with the Movement of Immigrant Leaders in Pennsylvania, known as MILPA. She was with the Border Network for Human Rights. She's featured in Borderland, The Line Within. Gabriela joins us now from El Paso, Texas. Your husband was deported. You have three U.S.-born children, Gabriela. And the fact that you're with MILPA, Movement of Immigrant Leaders in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, a swing state, your thoughts about the environment and the rhetoric right now, as President Trump says if he's reelected, he will begin mass deportations.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having us. It's a pleasure for me to be here. Exactly. Yes. What we are hearing, not only from President Trump, that he's going to deport us and he's been preparing this massive deportation apparatus, we're also hearing it from Kamala Harris in the terms that she is also not speaking in regards to immigration as something really good. She's trying to
say to the world that I can be as tough as any other Republican. And that is problematic because we have both parties failing the people here in the United States. And what's happening right now is that the immigrants are used as scapegoats. We are blamed for all the problems in the United States. We are bombarded daily with the false and immoral idea that if there are no jobs or decent wages or access to free medical care or decent housing, it's because of immigrants. We went from being rapists and criminals to now eating pets in Springfield, which is obviously not true. The truth is that the needs of immigrants are no different from the needs of the rest of the population. This film asks the people to internalize this thought. Who wins with family separations and deportations? It's not the average American citizen. And while we continue to fight amongst ourselves, the poor people, other sectors, the structural problems in our nation continue to be not resolved. The border industrial complex has been trying to push down our throats this narrative that you must be afraid of immigrants, that they're coming to take away your jobs, that we're having an invasion, that we're having open borders, because it's very rentable for them. If they are able to instill fear in the population, then it's easier for them to sell their goods. We have one of the most militarized borders in the world, even when we are not at war with our neighboring country. We have Black Hawk helicopters that are used for wars. We have cameras, sensors, walls, more boots on the ground. And we just learned that the 2024 budget to protect the border is $25 billion. This is not an attack only on immigrants. This is an attack on every poor people living in this country, because while they're using this money to protect us from who they think is the enemy, which is the immigrant, that money is not being used to improve our schools or infrastructure, public transportation. And so we need to understand that the problem of the immigrant is the problem of the white poor people and the Black poor people, and that we need to come together to fight so that those needs become rights. But only going to happen when we unite.
I want to go back to Pamela Yates, the director of the film, to talk about the other person featured in this film. You have Gabriella, who we're talking to now, and Kash. And that relates to a past film you made. And it goes to the issue of asylum seekers coming into this country, fleeing often in countries. In Kash's case, of course, Guatemala, where the U.S. supported right-wing death squads who killed so many of the population, perhaps hundreds of thousands, and what the aftermath of that caused, Pamela.
Yes, well, it opened up the country to extractive mining, to international companies coming in to take minerals out of the ground. And Kash Mural, the other protagonist in Borderland, The Line Within, is an environmental defender. He's defending the Mayan ancestral lands in his village in the Ixil region of northern Guatemala. While he's doing that, and as he's becoming a leader, he's receiving death threats. And gradually, people around him are beginning to be killed. So he feels he must flee. And he flees trying to seek asylum in the United States. And as he's fleeing, he contacts me, because we knew each other from a past film. And he says, don't come. It's way too dangerous. He said, I've already left. So my role from then on was to work with him to document his story as he came, and also to try to find out ways to keep him safe.
And how long was that journey, Pamela? How long was that journey? We just have 30 seconds.
2 months. It was 2 months, the journey, and he was languishing for several years in Ciudad Juarez, trying to get into the United States.
And what happens when he gets here is incredible. Pamela, in these last 20 seconds, what you're trying to do with this film is it opens all over the country.
We're now on the Abrazos Tour, which is a 26 cities. We're opening in 26 cities, north, south, east, and west in the United States. We hope everyone will join us. We hope everyone will become informed. We hope everyone will vote. And we hope everyone will learn about the border industrial complex as it pertains to your congressional district.
Pamela Yates, I want to thank you for being with us, director of the new magnificent film, Borderland, The Line Within, and Gabriela Castaneda, advocate with the Movement of Immigrant Leaders in Pennsylvania, MILPA. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. Simon Fraser University, the 1960s. In the earliest days of SFU, a renegade, unlicensed radio station begins broadcasting around campus. 1974. Volunteers establish the Simon Fraser Campus Radio Society, which operates CJSF to this day. 1985. The station obtains a cable license, bringing CJSF to a wider audience. And we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain, Burnaby, BC.